Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the recharged and refreshed voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. What a break we've had.
Wow. Yes, we said around a month, a bit before that.
Yeah.
So premature.
We were missing it.
We were
missing it. But recharged, refreshed, feeling good. Yourself?
Yes, I've still got my break to come. So, you know, after that, I'll be ready.
Well, look, I am feeling good. I managed to get away. First time I've been away for quite some time. It was very, very enjoyable.
And where did you go to?
Mykonos. It was very, very nice. Spent the week on a quad bike. In fact, it wasn't a week. It was about 4 days. But, you know, spent the whole time on a quad bike.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah, haven't done that for a long, long time. So when I got there, realised that you need a quad. It's quite a small island. So I realised that you need either a bike or a quad. And, of course, safety first. I thought that four wheels would be that bit safer than two. So we went for a quad. Met the guy and he said to me, you know, what quad do you want? And I got to be honest, as much as I know about goalkeeping, I don't know much about quads. So I said to him, look, what would you recommend? He's like, well, you got like a really fast one, or, you know, one that's okay, that will do a job. I was like, look, it's fine. I'm not a racer. So just a regular quad will be fine. Little did I know that it's fine when you're going downhills, but not so good when you're going uphills, which was a little bit frustrating because Mykonos is quite hilly, I found. So there was one point when I was driving up a hill and literally ground to a halt with 30 cars behind me.
Was that poor driving from you?
No. I had my thing fully down on the throttle and just had no power. Just couldn't get up the hill. And people beeping me. It was quite embarrassing at the time. And in the end, I had to get off the quad and kind of wheel it to the side of the road. And then eventually, when all the cars went, I figured out that if I zigzagged my way up the hill, I could just about get myself up to the top of the hill. But then when I was going downhill, the speed.
So this was your mode of transport for the entire holiday. This is what you used to get around.
Do you know what it was? And this is me being thrifty. That's the word I'll use. Is we got there and the first trip we did to a restaurant. We got there in the evening, went to a restaurant. First trip, about 6 minutes in a cab. Let's say it was about six, maybe seven at a push. And it was €30. And that was €30 coming home as well. And I thought, if we're going to give cabs around all holiday, we're going to be in a bit of trouble here. So the quad was €31 a day, which I thought was excellent value. So we made the most.
Thrifty or tight?
I mean, look, that's down to perception. And I'm sure that most listening in will use the word thrifty.
You're clinging on, aren't you, to your footballer past? Because isn't Mykonos where all the footballers go?
Yes. I think the week before, actually, I think there was a lot of the England lads were there because I did see something on social media.
There was a video, yes, that went round.
Yes, there was. Some very impressive basketball skills from Declan Rice, I think I saw. But no, they weren't there when I was there. But it was very nice. I would recommend. First time I've been there. Very nice. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Probably not going to make a podcast on like travel reviews, you know. I don't think I'm going to be a blogger, but no, I did enjoy it. Very nice.
But no, you didn't bump into any others.
Nope, didn't bump into anyone. I think I went like the week after most people went, but no, lots of beach clubs. That was nice. Very windy, actually. That's what I would say about Mykonos. Very windy.
Okay, not good conditions for a goalkeeper then.
No,
there we go.
I would have struggled in Mykonos conditions.
Because if we bring it back round, we always do.
How are you bringing that back round?
Windy, terrible conditions for a goalkeeper. Conditions.
Sand in your eyes. You don't want that as a goalkeeper.
We often do talk about this, don't we? The conditions of pre-season, but we'll get onto that in the next podcast because this is just going to be a quick, although I don't know if it's going to be quick to be fair, there are 31 transfers since we last were on air on the podcast. So we're just going to do a bit of a transfer special and run through them.
Absolutely. And then next week, of course, the games kick off again. So we will be back officially next week.
We will. Mm. Yes. Between the Sticks, back in full force and a few interviews to boot.
Yes. We've got a few lineups and good ones. Don't want to build up the hopes too much. But I mean, if we get even 10% of some of the people we've targeted in the last few weeks, then we'll be in a good place.
Oh, there we go. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Okay, Richard, on with the show.
Let's do it.
GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
So we're going to start with arguably, I would say, the biggest transfer of late, which is Rui Patricio going from Wolves to Roma for around 10 million. And I love this one because this is a classic case of the goalkeeping merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. Patricio has gone to Roma, which means Jose Sarr has gone from Olympiacos into Wolves on a five-year deal. But that only happened because Tomáš Vašlík, who we saw in the Euros, of course, for Czech Republic, very good tournament from him, went from Sevilla to Olympiakos.
Indeed. It is like houses, isn't it? You've got the chain, and sometimes the chain, it works out in a situation like this when everyone gets their chosen target, and it does work out in the way that it has. Do you know what I'll say, just before I touch on these transfers, is actually it's been a really fascinating window in that what you've seen, or what I've seen certainly, is that you've got some movement top end, like big transfer fees. So the ones you've just mentioned there were well into the millions. Obviously a lot of talk at the moment about Aaron Ramsdale, about Sam Johnston, which again will come up no doubt later in the podcast. But then when you go below that, whereas a couple of years ago you had the likes of, I don't know, David Raya going from Blackburn to Brentford for 3 million or so, and Daniel Bentley going from Brentford to Bristol City for similar amounts, you haven't seen anything in the Championship above, I don't know, 500,000, maybe not even that. So you've kind of got a real gap between top end, where it's your tens of millions, and then it goes right down to 300-400 grand. You know, it's a really bizarre market, very little in between. But the ones you mentioned there, yep, it does sometimes happen like this, where everyone has their target, all falls into place, all slots in, and it will be really interesting to see how Sarr gets on, because I think Patricio had made a really good name for himself over here, where he was, I don't know, for me, the type of keeper where he was, I'd say, a solid all-rounder. I think people criticise his distribution a little bit from time to time, and there were bits and pieces that maybe weren't fantastic, but he didn't make many errors, I would say that. You know, it certainly wasn't a subject on our podcast all that often. So it will be an interesting one for Sarr to come in and see how he fits in, because we've spoke about it before. I know Aaron Ramsdale had it start of last season when you're replacing a goalkeeper who is well-rated, well-liked, and found it difficult initially, and maybe not even him finding it difficult, but more the fact that fans miss who was there previously. I just wonder for Sarr whether he does really need to hit the ground running, given that Patricio did have such a good name.
We didn't talk about Vasilic, did we, in the Euros pods that much? And when we did the last one and we spoke about goalkeepers who have made a name for themselves, we forgot to mention him. Just a word on him. He looked good, didn't he?
He did. He looked really good. It was one that ended up doing quite a bit of research on him for a different reason, and really impressed. When you actually go through his footage of the Euros, really, really impressed. So it doesn't surprise me that he got the move he did, and the fact that he was on a free transfer as well. So we're talking about the fact that Sarr's gone for several million, and of course Patricio for several million, but actually Vasilic was a free transfer as part of this. And you can't help but feel that might be one of the goalkeeping deals of the summer.
Okay, another merry-go-round of sorts. Matty Ryan has finally bid farewell to Brighton. He's gone to Real Sociedad in Spain. Carl Rushworth, the young Brighton goalkeeper, has gone on loan to Walsall. And as a result, Kjell Scherpen has come in to Brighton from Ajax.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Scherpen has to offer. I know he's very, very tall. 6'8", I believe. So I don't know too much about him, but I'm sure we'll get to see him. Of course, it will be, you would think, Robert Sanchez as number one, and he will then fit in as a number two, I'm guessing. Although, of course, I've got Jason Steele there as well, who would also want that number two slot, I'm sure. So it'd be interesting to see how he fits in and what the plan is there. Brighton are the sort of team that always has a plan for their goalkeepers. You look at it historically, you know, last few years, they've always had their goalkeepers out on loan and a really nice funnel into the first team. And as you mentioned, that's exactly what's happened with Carl Rushworth. Excellent loan for him, excellent opportunity, certainly one to keep an eye on. Again, not one that I've seen loads of given his age, however I know speaking to his goalkeeper coach, really, really highly rated there. I know they were targeting a League One loan potentially, but obviously to get a League Two loan as your first loan is excellent.
Christian Walton as well, what's happening with him?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, again, he's one that's come through the system, played plenty of games in the Championship. And you get the impression, just looking from the outside in, that he will be moving on but hasn't yet. There's still quite a lot to happen in the window, I must say that. Like, you actually look around and the number of goalkeepers that are still out of contract at this stage in the window. My gut says there'll be one more big flurry before the window closes, which is likely to happen back end of August, I think. When the season started, there'll be a few goalkeepers that maybe haven't quite performed, maybe one or two COVID cases, maybe one or two injuries, etc., etc. So I think we'll see one more rush towards the end of the window. My prediction is that there's a good chance that Christian Walton will be part of that.
Okay, three intriguing signings. Not so much in the case of Asmir Begovic from Bournemouth to Everton. You could see that one happening. But these two, Remy Matthews, Sunderland to Crystal Palace, and Marcus Bettinelli, Fulham to Chelsea.
Yeah. So the first one, Remy Matthews, and I think it's an excellent move for him, certainly. And there is often a backstory with things like this because, you know, I think Remy, by his own admission, had a bit of a tough season last season, obviously in and out with Lee Burge at Sunderland, and neither of them could really nail down that spot. In the end, Lee Burge, it's fair to say, did, and certainly kept a lot of clean sheets in the end and finished the season very, very strongly. So for Remy then to leave there and go to Crystal Palace, I'm sure he'll be delighted with that. I mentioned there's a bit of a backstory. Of course, he has worked with Dean Kiely before at Norwich. And certainly at Norwich, he was very, very close to being their first choice keeper for a period of time. And this is where goalkeeping can be intriguing, I guess, in that he then goes to Bolton. And of course, Bolton as a club just disintegrate, you know, nothing to do with him. Then gone to Sunderland. And of course, Sunderland, big club, in and out, can be hard to establish your place. But it just shows you how just such a simple shift, and you go from being almost the number one at a top end championship club at the time to suddenly fighting for your place in League One. So of course, Dean Kiely knows the goalkeeper he saw at Norwich, and so for him, he obviously feels he can get the best out of him once again, and Remy Matthews at his best is a very good goalkeeper. So I can see the sense behind it, but on paper, of course, a lot of people will look at it and be a little bit surprised, I'm sure, by that one. And Marcus Bettinelli, again, it was always going to be fascinating as to where his next move was. You know, had a phenomenal few years at Fulham, England call-up, doing well in the Premier League, etc., etc. Then a period of time without playing, then going to Middlesbrough, and in fairness, doing okay. You know, I don't think he tore up any trees there, and I think by his own admission, again, quite a change from going from a Fulham team to a Neil Warnock team, I think it's fair to say. So it was always interesting as to where he'd go this summer, whether it was going as a number one in the champ. But then when an opportunity like Chelsea comes up, and realistically it will be as a three, but still, I think a lot of goalkeepers listening in, if you had a choice of being a number one at, let's say, a mid-champ club or going to Chelsea as a three, I think a lot can see the appeal, certainly given the number of games that they're going to play this season. So he will likely get a number of games, the size of the club and the prestige that comes with that. And of course, the fact that he is Fulham-based, it is only around the corner. I don't know how Chelsea and Fulham fans will see to that, but the fact that it is just around the corner, you can see why there's so many positives to it.
It's a lovely little move, that, isn't it? I don't think Fulham or Chelsea fans will give a monkeys that he's gone to Chelsea. Another goalkeeper tearing up trees as well, Richard. I noticed that. It's a good one.
Did I just say it again?
Yeah.
Did I really? I really need to figure out my expressions.
We should create an artistic impression of these goalkeepers tearing up these trees. Asmir as well, to Everton.
Yeah, I think that made a lot of sense. I think you look on paper, the moment that Everton need a number two, Scott Parker goes into Bournemouth. You get the impression that maybe Scott Parker wants to put his mark on the Bournemouth team. Asmir, you know, phenomenal last season, of course, player of the season. But there were rumours previous summer that he might be moved on. And, you know, from what I understand, he would have been coming into the last year of his contract. So I think when you actually put everything together, then it does make a lot of sense. And for Bournemouth as well, of course, if Scott Parker wants to come in and put his own stamp on this, and there is the opportunity, or there was the opportunity, for Asmir to go and go back to a Premier League club as a very, very strong number two, I'm sure he'll get some chances at Everton. This one on paper just made a lot of sense. I think it's a great move for Asmir, and one that does make sense. The only question is now is whether then Bournemouth look to replace, which they haven't yet. Of course, a lot of rumours with Freddie Woodman, but he won't be going anywhere while there's injuries to Dubravka, and of course, Darlow has been hit quite bad with COVID. So it will be fascinating to see what Bournemouth do in the next week. But no, for me, this one made a lot of sense.
Already a hero as well in pre-season, scoring and saving a penalty, Asmir Begovic. So a good start for him. A little bit of movement at Spurs. Paolo Gazzaniga has gone to Fulham, and Pierluigi Gollini has come in from Atalanta on loan initially with a view to a permanent.
Yeah, interesting. And then you get the impression, or of course it asks the questions as to what will happen with Joe Hart, and all sorts of links at the moment with him and other clubs, Celtic being the strongest link, I think it's fair to say, at the moment. So it'll be intriguing as to what happens with him in the coming weeks. Gollini, again, don't know loads about. Looking forward to seeing him play. Sounds like it'll be a good fight between him and Lloris. And then Spurs obviously have the two talented youngsters in Brandon Austin and Alfie Whiteman, who's played quite a bit in pre-season. So I'm sure that they will back up the number one and two very well. And then in regards to Gazzaniga, I find this a fascinating one because I think that Marek Rodak did so well in Fulham getting promoted. But you get the impression that if Gazzaniga is going to Fulham, he'll certainly be going to challenge, won't be going to be a number two, you'd feel. So really, really intrigued to see how it plays out at Fulham.
Yep, and speaking of Marek Rodak, who got Fulham up the season before last, Alphonse Areola came in, didn't he, on a season-long loan to Fulham. He has now gone on a season-long loan to West Ham from PSG.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see this in that I enjoyed watching Areola last season. Some fantastic saves and a goalkeeper that I'm glad that we've still got in the Premier League. I expected this to be Sam Johnstone, though, truth be told. And I do wonder now what that means for Sam Johnstone. You know, you look
they made an offer, didn't they?
It did, yeah, did make an offer. So it's going to be an interesting one because you don't feel now there's maybe the slots that there were. And a lot of this, and this is where I do, you know, when it comes to how clubs operate, it is so different for goalkeepers than any other position. You know, and I think with goalkeepers, you have to be so delicate because, yeah, if you've got a striker that you know is valuable, then you know someone will always carry an extra striker. But it just doesn't happen with goalkeepers. You're never going to carry two number ones if you don't need to, or pay two goalkeepers very, very well if you don't need to. So this was an intriguing transfer. I'm glad that Areola's still in the Premier League. But you just wonder now where Sam Johnstone does go, and Aaron Ramsdale as well. I mean, it's fascinating to think that England made the Euro final and the second and third choice goalkeepers, as it stand, are in the Championship. That baffles me.
Even more baffling because had they been in the Championship last season, they probably wouldn't have been the second and third choice goalkeepers.
No chance. No chance. It's just, it's bizarre, really. And you think that, yeah, we were a couple of penalties away from winning the tournament, and actually we've got players that aren't even playing in the top division in our country. It's very strange to me. So I do want, just purely for the fact that you want the best goalkeepers playing at the best level, nothing against Sheffield United or West Brom, but I really hope it does get sorted for both of them so that we can keep them in the Premier League.
How does it though? Because like you said, the moves are getting smaller. There's not that many spaces left.
No, I mean, Arsenal's the obvious one, and they seem very keen, of course, on Aaron Ramsdale at the moment. There's a few rumours with Daniel Backman. So again, it'll be fascinating to see if that one plays out. But of course, if that one doesn't for either of them, then at the moment there are no obvious slots left. So it could be a situation where they are playing Championship. My only worry for them is that if they do end up playing Championship, and I've seen it before, or we've seen it before, using an example of a Jack Butland, for instance, where he was in the Premier League, established in the Premier League, went down to the Championship. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, it's we've all been there as a goalkeeper. You can doesn't mean that if you're playing Championship, you're going to have a phenomenal season, be the best goalkeeper and come back to the Premier League. Sometimes when you go down there, it can be very difficult to get yourself back up. So given that both do have bits of interest in the Premier League, and I know it's not as simple as this, but from a personal point of view, I do hope they've managed to find their way back there.
Areola, I think, is also with a view to a permanent deal as well, isn't it? That's a 1-2 next season, isn't it? Areola and Fabianski, that's pretty solid. As a result of him going to West Ham, Donnarumma has gone into PSG from AC Milan. We've spoken about him at length, but that move has finally been completed. And over at Burnley, there's been some movement too. Bailey Peacock-Farrell has gone to Sheffield Wednesday on loan. Lucas Jensen to Carlisle on loan. As a result, Wayne Hennessy has come in to Burnley from Crystal Palace. And Bailey Peacock-Farrell's move to Wednesday means that Cam Dawson has gone to Exeter on loan.
Yep, another interesting sequence. Just interesting to see where the goalkeepers have gone in order to get their football. And I think that, again, it kind of sums up the point that we're trying to make in that a goalkeeper's situation can change very quickly, both positively and negatively. And I say this with the greatest of respect to Exeter, for instance, where it wasn't so long ago that Cam Dawson's playing regularly in the Championship and now he's going to play in League Two. However, I think it's the right move for him because I think once Sheffield Wednesday get relegated and you get the sense that maybe you're not going to play for the manager, well, you just want to get games of football. I'm sure that he'll be in a good position in terms of his contract situation at Sheffield Wednesday. So if he goes and has a good season now, there's no reason why, if he were to leave Wednesday, for instance, he doesn't then sign as a one in the Championship again. So I do understand it. Similarly, Bailey Peacock-Farrell, when you've gone a period of time without having regular football like he's had at Burnley, you just want regular football at a good club. Now, you think that Wednesday should be top-end League One, so it does make a bit of sense. It's reasonably local as well. So there's certain reasons as to why this one made a lot of sense to me. And Wayne Hennessy, I think makes a lot of sense. Reason being is that you want to bring in a goalkeeper that's like Nick Pope. Well, it's not easy because Nick Pope is fantastic. But in terms of how he plays, I think Wayne Hennessy, there's a lot of boxes he ticks. So if Wayne Hennessy is to then come in for Nick Pope, you're not suddenly having to change your entire team because you've got a goalkeeper that is completely different to your number one. And I believe we've had this conversation before, but it does baffle me where you have a number one and a number two that are such different goalkeepers. You know, it really can affect a team when a different style of goalkeeper comes in. So for me, this one did make sense too.
No talk about Nick Pope this summer. Yes, sir.
Not at all, which is bizarre, really. I know he got the injury at an inopportune time, it's fair to say, with the Euros coming up. But still, he's been obviously subject to conversation the last few years. But this year, very, very little. In fact, I'd say next to nothing.
And three loans, three goalkeepers who were also on loan last season and performed well throughout. Matija Sarkic has gone to Birmingham from Wolves, Jamie Cumming from Chelsea to Gillingham, and Josh Griffiths from West Brom to Lincoln.
Yeah, so Sarkic, good loan this one for him. He's had an interesting couple of games in pre-season. And again, just kind of doing my rounds, watching the goals, the footage. They lost their last pre-season game 4-0. To West Brom, which, look, it's a pre-season game at the end of the day, and he's obviously just getting used to the team, used to the players around him. But of course, never nice when you're losing to a rival by that scoreline. And I do see there's one or two Birmingham fans that have got on him a little bit, so he's got an interesting start to the season. But the bit you said there is correct. He is very, very good. He did very, very well at Shrewsbury last season. Only 22, but he has got loads of positive attributes to talk about. And ultimately, he's got a bit of a chance to stake a claim because, of course, Neil Etheridge, who I actually saw randomly, I didn't tell you this actually, I bumped into him a few days ago.
Not in Mykonos.
No. I was at the Birmingham training ground, so I guess I say I bumped into him. There's a good chance that he was going to be there.
It's like going to the bakery and saying, oh, I bumped into a baker.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah, bumped into him randomly and we had a good chat and it was good to see him actually, good to see that he's doing well and he's really getting back into things. But, you know, he told me about obviously the situation and how bad it was, and he said it was really touch and go for a period of time. Like, he was on the ventilator for a good number of days, but he is in a good place now. He's getting himself fit. They put him on a program, so he is still a few weeks away, of course, because you don't want to rush back too soon. But certainly he will be back soon enough, and when he is, it will be a fascinating decision as to what happens. But a lot of that will be down to Sarkic, because of course if he hits the ground running, then he has got the chance of establishing himself. Now, you would think that Neil Etheridge, once fit, would come back in. That will be the likely scenario. But of course, if you've got the shirt and you perform very well and the team performs very well, then you never know where it might go. In terms of Josh Griffiths, yeah, good loan this for Lincoln. Look, phenomenal first season, really. To go on loan as an 18-year-old, get promotion from League Two. Yeah, stuff that dreams are made of, really. So for him to go to Lincoln now, of course, we're there or thereabouts last season. I think this one fits. He did have a few clubs that were keen on him in the summer. Lincoln won the race. And Jamie Cumming to Gillingham. Look, it goes back to the idea of the proven route to get to the Premier League. Dean Henderson, National League, League Two, League One, Championship, Premier League, etc., etc. So when I look at Jamie Cumming, look, he ticked the first box, League Two, very good last season for Stevenage. Now can he tick the League One box? It's an interesting fit because Gillingham have got a certain way of playing. I think last season there was some stat that came out that their striker had won over 100 more flick-ons than any other striker in the league. You know, they are very direct in how they play, so it'll be very different to how he's been brought up at Chelsea. Steve Evans can be quite a firm manager, I think it's fair to say. So it'll be interesting to see how he can deal with that. But look, this is part of it. You climb a league, which he's done. There's going to be loads and loads of challenges for him this season. But again, if he can come through this unscathed and have a positive season, then no doubt Championship could be next season.
Last one of this current batch is quite a coup, I think. Nottingham Forest have secured the services of US goalkeeper Ethan Horvath. He's coming from Club Brugge.
Yeah, this was arguably one of the certainly free transfers of the summer. And I kind of felt like initially it was almost a bit hidden over here. Like no one had really heard of him. Then all of a sudden he plays for America and they won, it was their version, wasn't it, of the Nations League. And he has just one of those displays, you know, where loads of saves and saves a penalty, I think, with a few minutes to go from memory. So all of a sudden he's very much then on the map. And I know then there were several English clubs that were talking to him. And actually, this is going to be a bit geeky, but I'll explain it because I know not a lot of people are fully aware of this. But the whole Brexit thing now is done on a point system. So if you're a foreign goalkeeper wanting to come to England, it's harder than it's ever been. And in order to have enough points, you need to be playing in a good league. You need to be playing in the national team. And actually, what did it, funnily enough, for Ethan Horvath was the fact that he played in a Champions League game. Last season, he played one Champions League game for Bruges because he was second choice to Simon Mignolet. But of course, by playing that Champions League game and the international games and playing in a very good division, he got the 15 points, which is the marker that's needed in order to be able to come over to the UK. So everything kind of worked out quite nicely. And certainly that'll be a really interesting challenge between him and Bryce Samba. You know, Bryce Samba, I feel, has done well, but I can sense the jury's out a little bit. So I think having those two fighting it out will be fascinating to see who wins that battle.
Just to quickly pick up on that, the Brexit points. It's not geeky, it's interesting. Mm. Richard. And people, I would imagine, listening to this podcast are quite interested in that. So if you spotted, say, a goalkeeper in, I don't know, let's pick a random country like Mali.
Yeah, not going to happen.
So he can't come to the UK.
No, and this is it now. And this is why all of a sudden English talent has become more valuable than ever, because European players can't come anymore.
At all.
No. Like if you're Danish, Finnish, if you're playing in the Danish league, Finnish league, it's not considered a good enough league. So you're not going to get the points.
So what, you have to be top five?
Essentially, it's a little bit more complicated, and there are ways in which you can appeal. But the way that I understand it, if you're playing in the Bundesliga, the Ligue 1, or Serie A, then yeah, you've got La Liga, of course, then you've got a very, very good chance. That will certainly give you a certain number of points. That might give you 5 points, for instance. And then if you're playing for the national team and you've played over 70% of their games or whatever the figure is, again, that will give you a number of points. So there's all these different things that will give you points, and the more points you have, the more chance you've got to come in here. But what it means is, where historically we've seen I use like Scandinavian players as a good example, because their leagues aren't rated particularly highly, they could be doing really well in their leagues over there, but it's just not good enough to come over to England. So what it will mean is Premier League, we won't have a problem. There'll still be top Premier League players coming over from foreign countries, but I think Championship and lower, be very, very rare that you see a player coming in from abroad.
Does it then work in English goalkeepers' favour?
I think young English goalkeepers will become more sought after if they are of a certain level, certainly. And I think what we'll see as well is that Europe now is classed the same as the rest of the world. So, for instance, Ethan Horvath, being a good example, doesn't matter that he's American, for instance, where that might have been a thing before. And, of course, European players would just come and go as they please. Now you could be Brazilian, Argentinian, same as being Spanish or French. It makes no difference. You still have to gather enough points in order to make your way over here. So I think what you'll see is the odd random signing from countries that maybe we didn't see before. But at the same time, I think the likelihood is it will just be far more English talent that makes its way up the pyramid.
We've just got a few more, Richard, that we'll quickly run through before we bid this podcast a fond farewell. Kiko Kasia has gone on loan to Elche from Leeds. That means Christopher Claesson has come in from Vålerenga to Leeds. Blondie, our good friend Blondie, has gone from Stoke to Crawley on loan. Adam Prizibek has gone from Ipswich to Wickham. James Belshaw from Harrogate to Bristol Rovers. Jokel Andresen from Reading to Morecambe spent a bit of time on loan there last season, didn't he? That is also a loan deal. And Zach Gcock, as a result of Sarkic going into Birmingham from Wolves, he's gone on loan to Salford.
Yeah, a few to mention there. So I think the Salford one will be interesting, given that they got Tom King as well. So, you know, when they signed Tom King, I assume that was as a number one. But of course, bringing Gcock in too, I'm sure that he's going there with the thought of getting some game time. So I think that's an interesting battle that those two will have there. You mentioned a couple of others. Jokel Andresen to Morecambe, again, goes back to the whole having a season in, or certainly half a season in League Two, and now having the opportunity to play in League One. I think that's great for him, and certainly from what I saw last season, he's one to keep an eye on. Really, really like the look of him. And Blondie to Crawley, I will just mention, because he's one, again, I work quite closely with a couple of the Stoke goalkeepers, and they've been telling me about Blondie for quite some time. And from what it sounds like, it does sound like he's got absolutely everything. So he's one that I'm fascinated to see how he gets on at Crawley. Of course, Glenn Morris is the number one and has been for some time. So my guess is that he will start as the number one. Blondie, I'm guessing, will get the odd cup game initially. But yeah, just be fascinated to see how that one plays out. Because if he is as good as I'm being told that he is, then I think Glenn could have a bit of a challenge on his hands.
And finally, two notable moves in the WSL. Courtney Brosnan, who was unattached, has moved to Everton. And Sophie Bagley has gone from Bristol City Women to Manchester United Women.
Yep, big move for Sophie. Actually, someone that I got to know. So when I was doing a bit of a consultancy at Bristol City, and I did meet Sophie several times and just touched a bit on mindset and a few other goalkeeping related issues. And in fairness, at the time, she was doing very, very well. I knew she was very highly rated. Bristol City Women were having a tough time, and I think they have done for the last couple of seasons, where, you know, they've been playing at the top level, and of course some fantastic teams in the top level. So they've had a tough time, but certainly I knew that Sophie was excelling. So for her to get the move to Manchester United, and I saw it all over social media last week or two, delighted for her. For those that haven't seen her, certainly worth Googling some of her saves, some excellent saves, very good distributor of the ball. So no, I think it's an excellent sign for United.
Okay, very good, Richard. A comprehensive review of the transfers. There probably will be a few more before the end of the month. In fact, let's finish on that. So, yeah, we're nearly the big kickoff again. What do you see happening between now and the end of August?
I think we'll see one or two bigger ones, if I'm honest, because I think that, I mean, you look at a few of the situations that are out there. You know, United have still got De Gea, Henderson, and now Tom Heaton. And maybe that will be the 1, 2, and 3, which would be an incredible 1, 2, and 3. But I just feel like something might shift there. There's one or two others as well that I think behind the scenes you may see something. So no doubt with each of our podcasts each week, we'll have a little transfer special because that will continue until the end of August. But I'm really fascinated to see how this season plays out for goalkeepers up and down the country, with the one big point being that, of course, fans are back. I know it sounds ridiculous, but so many goalkeepers that had their breakthrough last season that have yet to play in front of a packed stadium, I do think we'll see a slight reaction to that, you know, and it's going to make things that bit different again, that bit more exciting, certainly. And I've no doubt there'll be plenty of discussion points because of it.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away.